Suave.
Yep.
My G. My guy. My man.
My man.
Yo.
My G.
Yo, it's been a long time.
Not your buddy, guy.
Not your guy, pal.
Not your pal, bub.
Today is Thursday, May the 9th,
Yevalot.
I said Yevalot.
20 and 24. Would you like fries with that, sir?
Absolutely not. Gotta watch my fatty intake.
Dipping sauce for your nuggets, pause.
Can't even have the nuggets, man, unless they put them on the grill and they chopped up into little pieces. But I can't even have that right now, man. I have my physical. Physical came back great, but some things I gotta cut out for the 2024 for the summer. It's hot boy summer around this thing.
For the 99 and the 2000. Health is wealth, man. Look.
Health is for a nominal fee.
Soon to be.
A phenomenal fee.
Slice off some of this broken piece of knowledge. Put it on your plate.
That might be the fastest we've ever
Never took up offering this quickly. Like, okay, full disclosure. When you call me to tell me we had this small window open for recording today, where was I?
At the gym. Health is wealth.
Literally on the treadmill.
Just hopped on the treadmill.
Had just started. I was like, all right, damn. Messing up my circuit, but hey, the people need this work.
Let the church say.
Hey! Man, you can tell by the energy. Like, health is wealth. We're doing well. We're in a good mood.
The beards are looking very fabulous for the spring.
It's time for me to go sit in the chair and get tightened up. But, you know, I have been moisturizing.
Yes. I can tell there's a little curling is going on. A little bit more gray since the last time I saw you, but it's definitely some luster to the sheen there, if you will.
Well, I am an excellent father, husband, and son, so.
All that there above.
For those of you who occupy those spaces, you know, it's gray as hell.
Let's do some house cleaning real quick before we get into today's conversation.
Do that then.
For the people in the Southwest, in the Midwest, and the Southeast, or the Mid-South, who have been struck by all of this bad weather, it ain't over with yet. Hold your head. There's more coming. We know this. I just haven't seen it like this in a while. So for me, coming from Tornado Alley, and living on the tail end of Tornado Alley now, it hits a little different when you can't reach out and touch those people that's close to you. Luckily, nobody in my immediate circle has been affected, but at the same time, plenty of people have been affected. Keep Amen. Your eyes on the weather. Get out and go where you can before it's too late. Your things are not as important as your life. Remember that. That's number one.
That's an insurance replacement, at least with the worldly possessions things. I know, like, photos and different things like that, but
yeah,
don't try to stay trying to hold together something that will blow apart as soon as something come through. Especially like we live in Texas, where weather's a coin flip.
Texas, in the 15 years I was there, I remember at least three times there were tornado outbreaks the day after Christmas.
Damn. Yeah, it's no bueno.
Yeah, this is the time we're living in. That's number
one. This weather ain't nothing to play with. Mother Nature gonna have what she wants. She gonna have her way.
Mother Nature and Father Time quit dating a long time ago. Both are undefeated. That's probably why they quit messing with each other.
Say, because one ain't finna beat the other.
And they had a baby called the Internet. You already know about the Internet.
The Internet never loses. Never loses.
5,387,999,001 and zero.
They not like us. That's the title of the episode.
Not like us.
Like that. That's it.
Let's see. Number two.
Yeah.
This is going to sound real weird, but this is how it got a hit to me last night. Austin Ridge Elementary. Morrisville, Cary, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing I can say to that, man. Gang, pencil pushers.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute, where are we going with this?
Yeah, I got approached yesterday. Shouts out to Assistant Principal Oliver, who said she checked this out. This one's for you. You are now worldwide.
Worldwide.
You're welcome. If you haven't paid attention to the socials lately, we haven't been posting.
If we're on the good sides of the educators of this world, what does that tell you about what we're doing here?
You can't write this. It was the very first hashtag.
And if you don't listen consistently, you can't spell this either.
That's also a fact.
Multiply and divide these socials right quick.
Show at BrokenPencilBC.com. BrokenPencilBC at gmail.com. At Broken Pencil BC on everything in social media. That's at Broken Pencil BC on what?
Well, let me think about it. Everything?
Carry the one minus. Everything, yep.
It's in a fact, family.
Everything. There it is. Yes, all that. If you haven't been paying attention to the Instagram lately.
Leave.
That part. No, come back. Come back. Because there has been
an organic surge.
So many people have been doing these like wrestle botches that no one is taking credit for the things that need to have an eye on it.
Facts. Everyone's looking for the negatives so hard that you miss the positives.
And even some of the positives are negative, but
they're also positive.
They have been included. And what would now be known as the Broken Pencil BC Oat Moment of the Week nominee.
Now, I'd like to address something you just did. We are in a time right now where we're not necessarily putting on for the air quote sponsors. We really don't have any handcuffs or any regulators on what we can and can't say. We have some things we won't say. However,
yes.
You know, I mean, the moratorium on swear words, I think, is kind of by the wayside until we reevaluate.
Only because I mentioned elementary school like two minutes ago.
Because that would be in poor taste. You see what I'm saying?
But we don't have the disclaimer up either.
Problem
solved. Next episode might be a problem. Just forewarning. It's been a while. We're a few MFs off. We have some S's. Four. But yeah. Let
somebody do something between now and the next episode.
Yeah. The old moment of the week nominee will probably never have a winner because right now the old moment of the year belongs to Darby Allin.
How did that happen? The one we were there for.
Yes, in Greensboro, yes.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's gonna top that. Like, unless Cactus Jack just decides to say wave goodbye to us all, nobody's topping that this year.
Talking about have a nice day. I don't think we can, Jack. I don't think it's possible.
How did this man get hit by a bus, though? This is what I need to know. What were you doing to get hit by a whole bus?
Carrying the one in real life?
Hey, man. Did you try to beat the bus across the street?
Have you seen Night School with Kevin Hart?
I feel like I have.
So he had an episode where he had
I have seen it.
Dyscalculia and dyslexia, right? So all the numbers and words of like in front of him, he had to catch them. Darby was doing that. Surprise, he had to have been doing that.
Surprise, surprise.
Darby is a human cartoon character.
Bam. Wile E. Coyote.
Super genius.
If you don't stop ordering stuff from Acme, you're gonna
That boy got bricks from Sheen. Slay.
That's messed up.
Oh yeah. 45 minutes on today's clock. We're gonna do you a solid and give you some time. Cause we've missed you too. So 45 minutes
right, for real.
On the clock, please.
Can't you tell by the smiles on our faces?
And it's daytime.
Oh my God. You know,
the energy's way different for us in the daytime. So
daytime energy, legendary.
Clock starts now. NBC and Comcast, Universal, whatever you want to call them, has come to terms with WWE. We were expecting chaos in the wild, wild west for the last quarter of this year as it relates to Monday Night Raw. The flagship show without a home. And they have
in reality, there was no way that they were going to be without a television home.
You just, it's too much money on the line, not too much history. Fourth quarter. Dave LaGreca has been notorious as saying the fall of the fall when it comes to professional wrestling over the last, I don't know how many years. Last couple of years hasn't been that. Especially
because Roman's been champ.
That part, especially for SmackDown. Oh, there's your daily acknowledgement.
What's wrong with you? Duh, LaGreca.
Duh. Come
but, on. Our tribal chief, bro.
Yeah, I believe the number was 25 million that WWE is collecting for keeping Monday Night Raw on the USA Network for the fourth quarter of this year, which is the last quarter for the foreseeable future that WWE Monday Night Raw will be on the USA Network.
Why does that number feel low?
Yeah, keep in mind, we're talking like 2 billy over the course of 5 years. So if you take 25 million, multiply that by four, ooh, that is low. That's 100 million for a year.
We just talked about being educated and people who are educators are fans of what we do. How would you think I didn't do the math before I asked you that? That's 100, if it's a quarter, that's 25 times four, that's 100 mil for the year.
That's not Tony Khan, that's Nick Khan. I'm hit that Khan for. I got a feeling. That's a fire sale, ain't it?
You see what I'm saying? Like, I think they just came to an agreement that said, "Look, let's help each other."
Hits legal. What if? Just stick with me. What if they got the 25 million and it's still the Wild Wild West on the USA Network for the fourth quarter?
I mean, look, you fighting against football season, so I would assume the USA would rather not have a gaping hole in their schedule. Pause. WWE needs a home. USA needs programming. You're not going to find a better program to put in that slot specifically for that time of year.
Because
so it makes sense.
22 seasons are not of Law and Order. I don't care. I don't want to see 4 hours back to back every Monday, let alone every day.
I can stream Law and Order and SVU and all of its other stepchildren on the cock.
On the cock.
I don't have to watch, you know, regular traditional television for that.
Yeah. But on the
over the top, like Sylvester Stallone.
On the flip side, though,
mm-hmm.
I saw today that NBC is toying with the idea of offering the NBA a return to NBC, which will be the first time since 1989. That the NBA, bro, and why is that the college basketball theme on Fox right now?
Because sometimes, you know, the sync licensing lapses.
It bees like that.
NBC wasn't doing nothing with it. Now I will say NBC was on the NBA was on NBC up and through the 90s, like through Jordan's run.
So I'm sorry. I said 89. I think it was 99 when that happened. When they left NBC,
more like right.
Yeah, when they left NBC for TNT and TBS permanently,
and the last shot is what, 98.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, and that's the Jazz, and that was on NBC.
And it's been consistent. Yeah, I knew better than say 89, but I say I don't know what I'm thinking. 89, a number, another seven. Get down. Sound of the funky drummer. So the number that they're toying with is $2.5 billion.
Billion dollars. That's crazy.
That doesn't that number sound familiar?
And then I was like, isn't that the revenue from WWE?
That's the same number of the 5-year contract that WWE had for Monday Night Raw in USA.
So it ain't that I ain't got the money to spend. I just don't want to spend the money
on you.
And that doesn't work for me, brother.
What that boy Yellow Wolf say? Don't make me go and pop the trunk on you.
I'm gonna listen to that song today just because I haven't heard it in forever.
Yeah, pop the trunk is one of them. It's one of them ones, man.
Yeah, that was the one. That's the one that got me like, okay, yeah. Let me see what's going on over.
Block Chevy's dope. Oh, Block Chevy's dope too. I like Block Chevy.
Oh no, he's got a bunch of dope records.
Yeah, yeah. But pop the trunk was it.
Yeah, Pop the Trunk was the one that got my ears open. Pause. So when we talked about this a little bit in the pre-roll and I told you not to move, don't say anything.
Hold it right there.
Yeah, hold it. Hold what you got. So WWE's going to Netflix. There's 2.5 billy that's open to spend, and they're chunking it at the NBA. So that would kind of, that would cushion the fall of NBC and USA, because you know there's some of those other games that won't be on NBC, they'll be on USA and other sub networks, and you'll probably be able to stream live games on Peacock.
Price just went up.
So that would be a way to retain some of the subscribers that are going to dip out when WWE leaves, and amidst this new price hike that's coming.
Boy.
Like,
it's
like
not, and it's not massive.
Yeah, it's not, but for people who only got that subscription to that service for WWE, you're going to hike the price while the product is leaving. They're going to leave with it.
I can't say that I can because what's the hotel, the Continental?
Uh-huh.
The Continental's on there.
They have some dope original programs, but that's beside the point.
Samoa Joe is about to get back active again on
Twisted Metal.
They got some really dope shows on there that I'll be sticking around for.
The Sanford and Son archive is there.
If it wasn't for the fact that I had vested interest in other shows, yeah, I'd be chucking the deuces too. But yeah, NBA's exactly. Gonna be on there. Like, I'm cool with keeping it just for that.
Yeah, we're connoisseurs of fine entertainment, so I mean, hey, what's another streaming service on top of another one? Pause.
It's a yearly raise.
You know what I'm saying? So with that, we know everyone's shuffling to fix different things. And it brought the question to my mind, with if TNT loses the NBA or their rights to the NBA,
ooh, I see where you're
that
going.
Leaves a hole that needs to be filled with programming, whether it be of a sports-based nature or not. So my question to you, is this a happy accident in favor of AEW?
It's only speculation for now. Right. We don't know.
We're just theorizing here.
We don't know if this happens at the beginning of the 2024-2025 season or the 2025-2026 season. If it's the 2025-2026 season in Jacksonville, they've got about 6-7 months to get the act together before that's off the table.
Then it's a foregone conclusion. Just don't even finish.
If it's 2024-2025, completely different conversation. The act is as good as it's going to get for the moment. What you see is what you get. There's star power there. And it seems with Triple H taking over things at WWE, it seems that everybody who was on the shelf or on the fence about leaving is re-signing for back.
I mean, you kind of see how the landscape is sorting itself out, so to speak. Like, thankfully, there are multiple places still for talent to choose to go. TNA is enjoying a little bit of a resurgence. So
they've got some issues. They've got some issues that they...
When have they not had issues?
Man, right? So right now, I'm not trying to blow them up to any stretch of the imagination. They have probably the most recognizable roster they've had since probably 2015, 2016. In terms of the amount of star power they have on that roster.
Okay.
A few 1As, lots of 1Bs, and a ton of Bs and Cs. Twos and threes, rather. Tons of twos and threes as far as the level of talent.
Gotcha.
But those twos and threes is what fills your weekly programming up.
Right.
The pay-per-views are the 1As, the 1Bs, and the twos. It will fill your pay-per-views.
Facts.
The whatever they call their arena, if it's the new Impact Zone or whatever, cool. Add some lighting. In fact, buy some better cameras. You're owned by a multimedia conglomerate. The same way Sinclair Broadcasting owned ROH, that's how Anthem is with TNA.
I was going to say, but you know how that whole situation was run, and yeah, so.
I mean, I can think back to when I had a tube television and was watching Christy Hemme announce Kurt Angle on Spike TV, how clear it was to how snowy this 4K product is supposed to be on Access.
Hey, yo, you've got to chill.
I've been with the entendres lately. Pardon me.
Yeah, I mean, it's been thugging outside. It's been some things going on, but there are places domestically for talent to work.
MLW, even though names are leaving there, it's still a place to work and it's viable and they have distribution.
So let me ask you this. Because we feel and we know talent is not the issue. Talent's not the answer. How does AEW turn what they have going on ratings-wise around?
I think they're testing the waters with this week. Funny you should mention it. Mercedes Moné was on AEW Dynamite last night saying how she's going to the Boston Celtics game tonight and then doing the Red Sox first pitch on Friday. That's one way, is public appearances from your stars. Because remember, even when Angle was in TNA, and I keep using him as the example, he was getting other people on TV because of his name being at TNA. Right. And for, seems like forever, it was only WWE talent that was getting on mainstream television. So you've got to get, you literally have two major networks owned by a multimedia conglomerate putting on two organizations and talent from technically three, if you include Ring of Honor, three times a week for a total of 5 hours a week minimum.
Which would say to me, you need to be sending a talent to every major sports event that's going on those networks regardless. So the NHL playoffs are going on right now.
Thank you.
Major League Baseball is currently, you know, in season. The NBA playoffs are going on.
Edmonton Oilers are taking on the Vancouver Canucks right now in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They were in Edmonton. AEW was in Edmonton last night. And will be in Vancouver on, I believe, Saturday night for back-to-back Collision and Rampage.
You've got spare Canadians.
Spare Canadians? You can have members from each team. Can you imagine what it would have been like for a Vancouver Canuck player to be inside the Edmonton Oilers arena or the arena that the AEW was running last night in Edmonton? Can you imagine what that's like? Even worse, I saw this. I don't know if I sent you this graphic or not. Uncle Dax Energy, Dax Harwood, is taking on the Dynamite Kid, Tommy Billington, this Saturday.
Yes, I saw that.
Now, why would you do that in Vancouver when Tom Billington's from Edmonton?
Maybe there was a booking conflict. Or maybe there's someone who's not paying attention to the ingredients when they're cooking the main course.
Yeah. Salt is not sugar.
And it doesn't go in grits.
Follow us for more recipes.
I agree. That is one thing that they definitely can do. The on-screen product is probably the on-screen product at this point. Now, there was a post that was made.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you because you made me think about something else.
Okay.
What's happening right now that nobody's paying attention to but me and you? And Michael and Matthew Ingram.
UFL?
Yep, UFL.
Oh yeah, the Renegades are trash. We don't even have a draft to get ready for.
We lost both running backs last week. Damn. And lost the second buzzer beater field goal game this season. You're world champions.
World champions. Defending world champions.
Has anybody thought about that? Now, I understand Dwayne Johnson's involved with this, but isn't that the ultimate example of not being a conflict of interest when you diversify?
I agree, but with the way that Connors keeps throwing shots at Stanford, the probability of some sort of joint venture is like less than zero at this point.
Not even joint venture, just like recognize the talent. Like
any wash my, you know, I wash your back, you wash mine, or whatever.
It's out the window. And I keep forgetting that even though Stanford technically doesn't exist in the way that we thought it, like the way we've known it all these years, it's still
new Stanford.
It's still Stanford.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, as you were saying,
there's a level of petty that is going to live in Stanford until the very end of time.
No Messiah. As you were saying, though.
Gee willikers. You completely threw me off. I don't even know what I was going to ask. I had something really important to ask, too.
About the trajectory of the product
What it feels like, the on-screen product is the on-screen product. I don't think you're going to get much in the way of changes. That's what it was about Tony Snow. So there was a post in the Broken Pencil Logic private Facebook group where community is king. And there was a post made about it was shared from another page about where is Ricky Starks? Because we haven't seen Ricky Starks since they lost the tag team titles. Big Bill is back on television, under the learning tree. And that hasn't really been much mentioned. Right. And then he made sure to say that, I'm not injured, so stop that narrative. He himself, Ricky Starks. So it begged the question, okay, well, why is he not on TV? Snow gave us the perspective that, AEW has somewhere close to 100 and I think it's 160 workers, signed talent.
I remember back in 2019 when AEW first kicked off. Sorry, 2020 when me and you were going through numbers. I counted upwards of 200 when they were doing Dark.
Well, contracts have expired. People been cut loose, things like that. So Snow gave us the number about 100.
About 160, yeah.
And said there wasn't enough TV time for everybody. My counterpoint to that was they are running about 5 hours of television a week. Per week, 3 different shows, five hours of produced content a week.
Dynamite's 2, Rampage's 1, Collision's 2. That's 5. Not including pay-per-views.
Right. So are we willing to say with any level of certainty that Ricky Starks does not belong in the top 25% of that? He's not a top 40 signee on that roster to be able to get on one of those 5 hours of television?
Monetarily, he probably isn't, because I think that he's been taken advantage of because of his status when he came into the company. Now, if it's a contract year and things need to be reworked, I can kind of understand keeping him off TV if you're going to let him expire and not renew his contract. But
then
to say
put him
that
on TV and beat him.
But to say that he's not top 25% of talent on TV, bruh.
That's all I'm saying. That was the basis of my question. I don't know his contract situation.
Truth be told, if 160 is the number, he might be top 10.
Look, I tried to keep it, keep bias out of it. Just deal with it in a situation where the number makes sense. If he's top 25% and that's 40 people, I think you can run a pretty good stretch of programming with those 40 people.
So, I'm not even mad at that. My thing is this: you had him on Saturdays. You could have just kept him there. Danielson hadn't been seen since what was the last pay-per-view? Dynasty.
Dynasty. Oh, he showed back up.
Showed back up last night because he's in a feud with Eddie Kingpin and Uncle Dax Energy and Cash Wheeler.
That feels like snuck, but
somebody's getting snuck.
Right. He came back and now he's joined this convoluted Elite versus AEW Originals thing. And I'm like, that's a weird group of people to put together. But hey, whatever floats your boat, fam. But just, you can't sell me on the fact that he's not top 25%. There's no way he resigns. You can't offer him enough money to do that if this is how you're treating him now. If he's coming down to the end of an agreement, then he was coming towards the end of an agreement while he was a tag team champion. So is this an issue of you're about to expire, we're not gonna, we don't want to beat you on the way out, like doing right by the guy? You were doing right by the guy, you'd already have him on television. Or is this a case of you like somebody we don't like, so now we don't like you?
Same words, different page, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, my contract's coming up. yeah, I ain't staying. What you gonna do?
Right. Either you gonna try to earn something off of it.
TikTok.
But the counter to that is, if you're gonna say, I'm not resigning while I'm currently still paying you, you're gonna come to work and do XYZ. Unless you wanna, you know, try to stretch out the rest of this contract with no money. Then I'm just gonna hold you liable and it's gonna take you longer to leave.
Before we get away from AEW, I was supposed to start the episode like this. From the ending of the last episode, I was supposed to start the episode like this. So don't think I forgot. We've been doing things.
Obviously, you see the energy's up.
You're a winner.
And new.
You're a winner.
And new.
One time for people up top. You're a winner.
And new.
AEW World Heavyweight Champion. My draft pick. We swerve when we drive. Shane Swerve Strickland.
Yeah. Congratulations, champ.
If we said a bad thing about him ever on this show, it wasn't his fault.
And then, okay, going back to our conversation about people showing up in places. Swerve was at a LA Rams game last year. He was at Jacksonville. He was at the stadium in Jacksonville.
Swerve has been not only has Swerve been everywhere and has been affiliated with some of everybody, Swerve is a needle mover when it comes to professional wrestlers wanting to embody and embrace hip hop and pop culture.
Facts.
And I noticed that, like, I've seen it and I didn't like it at first, but then, like, that's him. It's like us. You see us, you may not appreciate the fact that we do wrestling podcasts, but here we are in year number 7 and you don't have a whole season under your belt.
Look, that being, you're starting to see a larger involvement of this generation's hip hop culture intertwining with wrestling.
AJ Francis over at TNA last week had Rich Swann in a VIP style booth eating popcorn and trail burgers with Bun B himself. Salute Bun B. Mr. Freeman, Mr. Bernard, if you will.
I'm feeling horrible because the Cowboys play the Texans this year and it is not close. So I'm probably going to have to don some type of Texans gear and I'm not happy about it. I don't want to buy any of that stuff. It stinks. It smells up the whole house.
Yeah, man.
Sexy Red tweets getting red on
me. Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, no, bro.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels inviting Drake and Kendrick Lamar to come settle their issue.
And apparently Sexy Red is signed to show up at the next NXT event.
Of course.
This is where we live.
Look, this is not a talent thing.
And you know who the godfather of all this was? It can be argued that it was Flo Rida. But.
I mean, if we're going to do that, then Run DMC kicked all of this off.
I'm about to say that we can't go back that far. I'm gonna bring it up a little bit more.
We should do it on another show.
Bad Bunny.
There's that too.
No one who didn't appreciate Bad Bunny liked the idea of Bad Bunny coming to WWE. He came, he pulled up and showed out.
Machine Gun Kelly.
We won't even talk about him. He don't even rap no more.
He doesn't. He stopped.
He do pop. Like he sings now. He don't rap.
Look, but you can tell that the new ownership, as far as TKO and Endeavor, that they are looking to secure the next generation of professional wrestling fans. How do you do that? You cherry pick the biggest names going on in the genre. It's not a talent thing. It's not we want the most talented and the biggest and brightest of stars and talent. No, it's about who has the most name equity at any given moment.
Name equity. Absolutely. Great word.
So right now, Sexy Red has a lot of name equity. That is going to, and she needs albeit, this just albeit as much
for,
as they do.
Albeit for the right or wrong reasons. And what's crazy is, There's a women's beef going on that's akin to the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef, and she is sitting back perched, looking like J. Cole right now. Imagine that. Sexy Red looking like J. Cole right now.
I'm going to continue collecting my bag while making these show dates.
While I breastfeed this new baby.
Exactly. You think different when you got a new child going on. It's like, no, I need more money than I need problems.
Yeah, and showing up at a wrestling event where I know I won't be touched, I might even get to slap somebody for free.
Facts. She needs this every bit as much as they need her. They need her name equity to get a new group of people to actually see what she did. And then she needs to be in front of a group of people so that someone will go stream whatever's going on with her at the given moment.
Because these kids ain't about wrestling the way that the Attitude Era was, when like, especially with WCW in the NWA, the NWO era. Because like, it was
everybody's
kids.
Anti-conflict. Everybody's trying to avoid conflict, but also instigate it.
And here we were, teenagers, like in early 20s, like looking at this, like, yeah, let's go. And you see parents and you see young ones, but like that middle ground, the top demo.
I mean, we're from a generation that we settle our differences with fisticuffs and or international objects.
Foreign. You press the button, it's a foreign.
That's just where we came from. That's how we were raised. You know?
Let's see. So this will be real quick. We didn't do a you know who ain't gonna win for Backlash. It was only five matches.
We kind of knew.
But man, I want you to talk about that. Like, I want us to talk about that. So
right.
WWE Backlash, a post WrestleMania,
extravaganza.
Vengeance Day, Backlash, Roadblock. Like it's been a number of different things over the years, and they go to France to one of the smallest arenas that WWE has run in a long time. Not only sell it out. They had that thing sounding like the United Center in Chicago or the Rosemont Horizon for my old school heads, which is the loudest WWE arena in the country.
Ooh.
Listen, let's see here. Let's run down the card real quick. Bloodline, defeat, which was Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga taking on Randy Orton and Kevin Owens in the street fight. And we got the debut or the reemergence. And let me correct myself. Over the last, I guess, year, I've been saying that Tama Tonga was Camacho. I was wrong. It's Tonga Loa that was Camacho. The so-called cast Mexican on the bicycle that was backing up Unico.
Cholo.
Not so much. He's South Pacific Islander, ergo gang. So Tonga Loa, the Gorillas of Destiny are signed with WWE. I don't know if you realize the magnitude of that, but two of three of Haku's three sons are in WWE now at the same time.
It just makes me wish that the ownership had changed over sooner. We would have had the Briscoes in Stamford.
I still don't know if we would have got that. Because
I know we would have. With Trips at the helm?
Jay, rest in peace, Jay Briscoe, he said that he was only interested in going to Tampa anyway, to NXT.
Okay.
But even still, they had to be able to, this is when they were going live every week. So it wasn't like they do the 1 or 2 week tapings and have 3 weeks off. They weren't doing that. So he wanted to go, you know, still tend to the farm. That was the biggest issue. It had nothing to do with anything else. It had to do with his ability to attend the farm and stay at home with the family.
If I can talk you into getting to Orlando, I can talk you into whatever else needs to be done.
Hey,
we can pay you enough to pay somebody else to tend to the farm.
I know gators eat chickens, but you know how much these gators go for on my feet? You have a hard time keeping them down. Why don't you go run this gator farm over here for me?
You feel me?
Oh, by the way, that's your gator farm now. Bayley, Naomi, and Tiffany Stratton for the women's WWE title. Bayley retains. I can't say enough good things about Tiffany Stratton in the ring. I just hate her gimmick.
That's probably to to people watching, that's probably a good thing that you hate the gimmick, because that means she's going to work as a heel.
Yep. For a while.
See? See how that works, guys?
And I'm a fan of heels. I love me some heels. Pause. Damian Priest defeats Jey Uso. That was a great match.
No De La Hoya.
that was a really good match. Damian Priest retains the WWE title. Or the world title. We knew that title wasn't changing hands. We just knew that wasn't happening.
Oh, but it could have. It wouldn't have been a bad call had it changed hands.
I honestly think that Damian Priest losing the title after holding on to that Money in the Bank briefcase for so long and losing it in that short of amount of time would not have been best for business. However, it's the Sami Zayn effect. There was no other better person to put it on at that time. If you were to put it on Jey Uso.
But Jey Uso's entrance, legendary. But that's a legendary moment. Just that entrance is a legendary moment in time for so many reasons. The Fireflies, them singing the song word for word, them actually having enough unity to stay on somewhat of a beat with the song.
Randy Orton said that he's been had the same entrance music since 2009. And the first time anybody ever heard the song being sung word for word was at Backlash this year. That's crazy.
Was it like a year ago or maybe longer where we were like, no, it started last year at Backlash where we were like, look, these American crowds ain't it.
Damian Priest was a martyr for the whole cause. That's why he has the belt now.
Smug, entitled, spoiled,
boring,
these
uninformed, they go because they can, not because they actually like it.
Man, these American crowds are really, really starting to wear on the product.
And the vintage, like, shouts out Dave House, like the vintage WWE fan, I didn't really care for those up top New Yorkers and New Jersey, the tri-staters, the people in the Northeast. I didn't care for those fans because they didn't know about the Southern product. But a lot of times the reason why they didn't know about that Southern product was because they didn't have cable.
Whose fault is that?
Hey, it's tough out of the Northeast. Y'all gotta move.
Get some culture about yourself.
Yeah, you gotta move. But at the same time, that doesn't make them wrong. It just makes them uninformed. This world,
ignorance is bliss.
The world is so much bigger now with the internet, and there's so many things that you have access to. If you want to talk bad about something, at least be able to come to the table and tell me what you're talking bad about. Do not show up at the arena and tell me why these people suck if this is the only thing you watch and there's so much more out there. You ain't got to be here.
Your negative opinions can go worldwide, but also your positive behavior can go worldwide.
Man, you over here saying words, Suave.
I use them occasionally.
Word of Mattician.
And look, here's going to be the litmus test. You got Glasgow, Scotland coming up.
Listen.
But listen. Then after that, you're going to Cleveland for SummerSlam.
And Drew is hurt. That's a problem.
Drew is hurt, and he's not in the King of the Ring tournament specifically because he needs to get right by the time they go to Scotland.
Yep. And let's hope that he is, because you're printing money whenever you decide to put him in the ring with Punk.
Absolutely.
Like, they got absolutely. They got their own faces on the bread.
They have been cooking in their own kitchen and ain't had no type of physical interaction other than a grab or a tug. No diddy.
I think this might have been, this past Monday on Raw might have been one of CM Punk's worst promos ever. However, it made sense because we knew Drew was not coming back. He knew Drew was not coming back.
Of course, they probably planned it that way. Drew went and parked that card and came back into the arena.
That's how you did.
Unless he just went back to the hotel.
Yeah, and said, come get it. Got a task for him to come get the car.
Cody called AAA. Hey, I just left this car. I need you to tow it.
Cody versus AJ for the Undisputed WWE title. Small ball drop here. Michael Cole, Corey Graves, great job on the history lesson between these two. But you've got four Bullet Club leaders on the WWE roster right now at the same time.
Yeah.
Four? That's crazy.
Now imagine had they bought the Bullet Club IP like they tried to when Finn first came over.
We said it before, Suave. I heard somebody saying they made Hove. Made Hove say, okay, so make another Hove.
Well, guess what? They got Hove on aisle 7.
And you can say the OC was their take on it, not even close.
Nah.
Because the good brothers had more legs than the OC did.
Look, with old man River still in control, they were never going to be able to make the type of content that would have made them cool as the OC. There's just certain stuff you're not going to be able to do. Now, admittedly, hearing the stories about the Bullet Club versus watching them in New Japan and seeing it in real time, totally different. Because the myth and the legend grow as each person tells another person.
Yep.
Even if you, and I've gone back and watched they have Bullet Club documentaries on YouTube where they walk you down through the history of the Bullet Club. Love those because it brought me all the way up to speed for stuff I didn't see.
Like Tama Tonga being an OG with Bad Luck Fale.
Yes, the greatness of Bad Luck Fale.
Which one of the biggest misses to never come to Stanford, which I believe he was on the radar during the pandemic too.
Yeah. Yet.
Yet. Yet.
Yet.
Still young. Finn Balor, Prince Devitt, then Cody. No, then AJ.
ASAP Finnegan.
Then Cody. No, was it Cody then AJ? No, it was Finn.
No, AJ. It's Finn, then AJ, then Cody.
Then Cody.
No. AJ, then it's Kenny. Then Kenny and Cody had the Civil War.
And then AJ came and he stayed mostly in Japan, but every once in a while showed up in Ring of Honor. Which was, that was a crazy time too when you had the Bullet Club US and Bullet Club Japan. That was nuts.
No, somebody's definitely going to correct us about this. Leadership stuff.
Show at BrokenBistleBC.com, BrokenBistleBC@gmail.com. We ain't perfect. You know what I'm saying?
It's gonna be Ingram or Phillips gonna get us right.
This is gonna be this is your NOIE family tree moment. So handle that. Whoever you are, handle that.
We're gonna find them Bullet Club documentaries and we're gonna post them in a group.
And then finally, and I got another clip to put up too. I hope it's not too late. It was Saturday. I gotta put this up too. Your winner. WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Jay Cargill-Berg and Bianca Belair. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of good. Also you,
this is one of your seeds rough. You planted about a year ago. Before Jade even left AEW.
I'm kind of good at this.
Nominal just fees and all that.
Just a little bit.
There was a move that I don't know why I didn't put this up. And if I did, it's probably, actually I didn't put it up. I haven't recorded though, but it's going up on the IG where Jade catches Kairi Sane and then like throws her up, flips her around and then hits her
Oh no, that was stupid.
That's going up as a clip of the week too. I forgot.
That damn near made up for everything else. That and the springboard.
And it was, they still have some chemistry issues to work out. That there though, that one sequence there.
I mean, yes, there's chemistry issues. There's also a language barrier. Let's be real. For someone who's still, you know, getting the feel of operating in front of crowds this size, I don't know if the ring in AEW is the same size as the ring in WWE, but there's that. But yeah, like it's still early. It's like you're basically learning to walk all over again.
We'll never know if those rings are the same size because of like in AEW you have people like Shane Taylor who travel everywhere.
Right.
We've seen Shane Taylor working the 12x12.
This is true.
We've also seen him working the 18x18.
That's who probably could tell us though.
Yeah.
If anybody could, like If anybody could, he could probably tell us.
Gang, we know you listen. Tap 20. In with us. Let us know what it is. Like, is the 18x18 that you in? Are you in a full 20x20? Like, what size ring are you in? We want to know.
Just for S's and giggles.
What curse is coming back soon. What else are we missing? I feel like we're missing a piece.
The King of the Ring tournament is rolling, buddy.
King of the Ring, thank you, and Queen of the Ring.
King and Queen, absolutely. Let us not spit in the face of inclusion.
Man, let's see here. Where are?
However, when I say that, I only have the bracket for the men available right now. If you can look up the bracket for the ladies, that would be awesome.
You're trash, bro.
I'm not trash. That's just all that was posted.
I love it. It's all good. Hold on one second. I think I have it right. Yep, I have it right here.
Like, name me.
So the Queen of the Ring bracket isn't completed yet. It's part of the problem. The Raw bracket has been completed, which is Shayna Baszler, Zelina Vega, Io Sky, Natalya, Dakota Kai, Lyra Valkyrie, and Ivy Nile, Zoe Stark, with your winners so far being Io Sky over Natalya, Lyra Valkyrie, Lyra Valkyria, rather, over Dakota Kai, and Zoe Stark over Ivy Nile. So, Io will take on the winner of Zelina versus Shayna, and we have Lyra and Zoe against each other next week, and the SmackDown portion of the bracket hasn't even been filled out yet.
Well, on the men's side of the tournament, the both sides of the bracket are filled out. As of right now, Raw is the only side that has actually had matches take place, where the matches were as follows. Gunther versus... Oh, I wasn't supposed to say Gunther, but...
Not in this house.
Walter! We sticking to our guns right here. That's a curse word. Walter defeated Sheamus.
Banger after banger, huh?
You know what I'm saying? Ilya Dragunov beat Ricochet. I wasn't sure how that was going to work, but it did.
And I love the tease for later. This ain't the last one.
Right. Jey Uso beat Finn Balor to advance, and we still have yet...
I didn't know how that was going to play out. That was wild.
Oh, no. Jey was always going over, in my mind. Then, yet to have happened, we have Kofi Kingston versus Rey Mysterio. On the SmackDown side, we've got AJ Styles set to take on Randy Orton. Baron Corbin set to take on Carmelo Hayes. LA Knight, versus Santos Escobar. And Bobby Lashley versus Tama Tonga.
That's insane. This is a King of the Ring bracket. This is... If we go back to the 80s, if we go back to the 90s, this was a whole pay-per-view.
Facts.
This was from top to bottom, you ran this as a pay-per-view.
One half of the bracket was the pay-per-view because you had to win like three or four matches to win the tournament.
Right, but I'm saying like just the people that are in the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
No ham and eggers in here.
It's hard to call these. And then I saw a post that been made kind of asking, like, who do you think would win? And you look at it and you're like, it depends on what story you want to tell in the finals.
Sheamus could have been a winner. But then you devalue Walter.
Walter versus Dragunov seems like it should be a lock for the finals on the Raw.
I hate that that's going to be on Monday Night Raw. I hate that.
Let's keep it G. At the same time, there's nothing that says Jay wouldn't be in a decent position to finish this because you could end up with Jay versus Tama in the finals.
Boy. And
which story do you want to tell?
And Corey Graves and Michael Cole were real good about Tama Tonga's involvement in the G1 tournaments.
He's a tournament fighter.
Time tested. May not have ever won one, but he's been time tested in that G1. Don't even matter.
You realize we could get Randy Orton versus Walter out of this if we play our cards right?
We could get, let me see here.
Dragunov versus AJ Styles.
We could get Dragunov versus Carmelo Hayes again if you really want to get active.
Oh, that's too much. They don't know. they're not ready for that.
Do you realize that would be a Broadway without even trying, without even calling it an Iron Man match? Would be a Stop it.
I'm just saying. Then we got Lashley. Oh, You know you could end up with Lashley versus Walter.
And that's that. Show at BrokenPistolBC.com, BrokenPistolBC at gmail.com, at BrokenPistolBC on all things socials, at BrokenPistolBC on what?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. I'm going to give me an old fashioned. I got some news coming soon for we. I fix fights. I fix fights. I went to Miami empty handed. I came back with a bag. We'll talk more about that in coming weeks. Super Yeet. Suave.
Yeah. Pencil pushers. Like, rate, share, subscribe, tell a friend. Tell that friend to tell a friend, and then tell
that friend again. Hold on, hold on. Tell that friend to tell a friend, and tell that friend again.
Shout out to O Solo.
O Solo, what up, man?
Pencils down.
Yeah.
Yeet.
Yeet, my dog. Yeet.